Father, we just want to thank you for your faithfulness, God. We want to thank you for your love for us. God, we want to thank you that you have given us everything so that we may have life. Lord, thank you that we can respond in acknowledgement of everything that you've given us, Lord, that we can give back, Lord, into your kingdom, Lord. And we pray that that what is sown into your kingdom, Lord, that it will multiply. Father, we thank you for every bit of life, faith that this gift represents. Lord, that it represents livelihoods. It represents security. It represents peace and hope. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that all these things that are sown today, Lord, will be sown into your kingdom, Lord, and that we will find our security, our hope, our peace in you, God, in your kingdom, Lord. And God, I pray that as we sow, Lord, we sow our hearts to this also, and that we may see your kingdom with a longing, with an expectation, God, to see you return, Lord, to see Jesus coming back. Lord, that we will be expectant, that we will be excited, that we will be ready to receive the bridegroom. And Lord, I pray for that excitement and expectancy in our hearts as we're here today. Lord, I pray that you will speak to us through your word. God, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will quicken our hearts and our minds to understand and to know you. Lord, we pray that we will not be here because of man's words, but we will hear because of your words. And Lord, so we pray for your words to become alive in us through your word. Through your spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Great, welcome. It's great to have you here. If you're here visiting us, we are so glad that you are here. We trust that you enjoy the day with us. And if you're back, we're always excited about that. I would want to continue with something that I started off a couple of weeks ago. It's day 21, depending on how you count, of 40 days, remember? Reading our word for 40 days, or reading the word of God for 40 days. The challenge was, can we spend 40 days reading the word of God every day? And the challenge was to spend 15 minutes, just 15 minutes a day, spending time in God's word. Because as Christians, we get so distracted by so many things today, and statistically, more than 80% of Christians don't read the Word of God on a regular basis anymore. And we were just sharing about the significance and the power of the Word of God and the influence that it has in our lives. And we are now here right in the middle, day 20, day 21, depending on how you want to count it. And I want to encourage you to continue to spend time in the Word of God. I want to show you from Scripture that our need to understand and know God is not just one thing that we add to our list that we have to do as Christians. It's not just another good thing. One of the many things that we ought to focus on in our Christian life. This is it. This is it. That we may understand and know God. This is the summation of Christianity. That we may understand and know God. This is what Christianity is about. It's our understanding and our knowing of God, that we may be a people that know God. That is what Christianity is about. It's about a people that have a relationship with the living God, that knows and understands Him, and have a relationship with Him. That is what it's about. That is what is different between religion and a relationship. It is the knowing of somebody intimately. And that is it. That is the purpose of Christianity, is to understand and to know God. That is the meaning of life, is to know God. We were created, remember, in the image and likeness of God. Right in the beginning, we were created different than the rest of creation. We were created in His image and likeness so that we can know and relate to God. That's why God created us differently. That is the purpose of life, of human life, is to understand and to know God. If you want to summarize the meaning of life, this is it. That we may know God. That's it. It's as simple as that. There is no greater purpose in life than to know God. There's nothing greater in this life to be able to say that I know God. That I understand His ways, His character, His thoughts. And that I relate to Him, that I know Him personally. That's it. What is there greater in this life to be able to say than this? That I know God. I know the Creator, the Sustainer of the universe, the Author of life. I know Him. In Ephesians, or in Jeremiah 9, verse 23 to 24, we read the following. This is what everything else in Christianity is pointing to. That we would be a people who know God. Here in Jeremiah 23, verse 24, we read the following. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Isn't that powerful? God is saying, you should not boast in your wealth, in your riches, in your power, but if you have to boast about something, boast in this. That you know and understand me. You understand and know me. So interesting, boasting, this word boasting. It says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That word boast, the ESV and the NIV translates it as boast. The New King James translates it as glory. Let him who glories not glory in his riches, glory in his wisdom, glory in his might. But let him who glories, glories in this. This word glory in Hebrew is very interesting. It's called halal. Who've heard that word before? Okay. Now this is the Hebrew word, not the Arabic word. You probably know the Arabic word very well. It's not the food stamp. Okay. Who've heard halal before? Okay. When you buy your food and, you know, there is a imam that blessed the food, dedicated it to Allah, therefore Islam and those who practice Islam are allowed to eat it. Okay? This is not the same word. This is the Hebrew word halal. It sounds the same, but it's got a different meaning. Who of you know the Hebrew meaning for halal? Who have heard that before? There's somebody. Anybody else? Halal? There's somebody at the back. Yes, a worship leader. He should know what that means. That word means. Halal in Hebrew is a very powerful word in worship. It is actually the root word, the main word that is used for praise. To praise God. Halal literally means, in Hebrew, to praise. To be boastful, to glory, to praise. It is the word that the Old Testament used for praising God. It is the word that we get hallelujah from. The root word for hallelujah is halal and yad, which literally means it's the shortened versions of Jehovah. So hallelujah literally means praise, glorify, be boastful in God. That's what it means. So God is saying something very powerful. He says, do not be boastful. Do not glory. Do not praise wisdom. You are wise. You are mighty. Do not praise. Do not be boastful. Do not glory in your might. Those of you who are rich, do not praise. Do not be boastful. Do not glorify in your riches. But if you have to praise, glorify, be boastful of anything in life, be boastful of this. That you understand and know me. That's the meaning of life. That's it. What does it mean to not let the wise man boast or glory or praise in his wisdom? What does it mean for the rich man not to boast, to glorify or to praise his riches. What does it mean for the mighty not to be boastful or to glorify or to praise his might? It means do not find your purpose in it. Do not find your purpose in wealth. Do not find your purpose in might. Do not find your purpose in wisdom. Find your purpose in this thing, that you understand and know God. That's the purpose of life. This is it. It's as simple as that. It doesn't get more complicated. Do not look at your riches as your purpose in living, or give that what gives you meaning and significance in life as your riches. Don't give your riches the place of significance and meaning in your life. Don't give it purpose in your life. Don't let, or don't look to your riches for that which fills and satisfies you. That's what God is saying. Don't look to riches as the thing that fills your life, as the thing that satisfies you, as the thing that you pursue with everything in your life, as if that is your purpose. Don't pursue riches like that. Don't pursue wisdom as if that is the thing that gives you significance, that fills you, that gives you meaning to your life. Don't pursue wisdom like that. Don't pursue might, power, influence as the thing that fills you, that gives you significance, that gives you meaning in your life. Don't pursue that. No, pursue this thing, that you may understand and know me. Pursue this thing that will fill you, that will satisfy you. Pursue this thing that will give you significance. Make this the thing that gives significance to your life. Let it not be your wealth. Let it not be your power. Let it not be your wisdom. But let it be this thing. Let it be this thing that gives significance to your life. Let it be this thing that is the purpose of your life. Let it be this thing that is your pursuit in life. Let it be this thing that you understand and know me. Because this is it. That is the meaning of life. We understand and know God. So instead of finding in those things that matters most to you in your life, find in this what matters most to you in life. Namely, that you know God. Boast in this, that you understand and know me. Think about it. Think about it for a moment. This is the number one, the top, the supreme purpose of your life and mine. This is the ultimate purpose of your life and my life, is that we may know God in His fullness, in who He is, in His holiness, in His grace, in His love, in His justice, in His righteousness, in His mercy, that we may understand and know Him. And may this be on our gravestone one day. He understood and knew God. May that be the summary of our lives. That we understood and knew God. This is what we ought to find in our greatest significance, that we know Him. So with everything else in our lives, we have to ask this question. With everything else that we do in life, with everything else that we pursue, and everything else that we are occupied with, we need to ask this one question. What role does this play in the ultimate pursuit of life? I mean, if the ultimate pursuit in life is to understand and know God, we need to ask ourselves with everything else that we do in life, what role does this play in meeting this purpose? The reason we need to ask this, because there is just so many things in this life that will distract us, that will demand of our time, of our heart, of our pursuit. You know, life is a pursuit for something. It's more than a pursuit for meaning. It's a pursuit of knowing. It's in the knowing God that we find meaning. It's not in the meaning that we find God. It is in the finding God that we find meaning. And we need to ask ourselves, with all the things in life that we are pursuing, how does this fit in to the ultimate pursuit of knowing God? Unless wealth is the ultimate pursuit. Now look, if wealth is the ultimate pursuit, you need to ask yourself, everything that I do, if you do business, if you read business books and even Christian business books, you have to prioritize and you have to set goals and you have to pursue those things. And it is so powerful. And all the goals is where you're going to be in 5 years financially and how you're going to get there. And what are the things that you need to do to get there. And that's wonderful if wealth is the ultimate aim of life. Or if it's power, and you want to get into politics, how are you going to get there? How are you going to influence? How are you going to get there? That's so powerful, if that is the ultimate meaning of life. Or wisdom. How are you going to gain wisdom? What do you need to study? How long do you need to study? Where do you need to study? Those things are powerful and they are important. Don't misunderstand me. But you need to ask yourself, what is the ultimate pursuit of your life? Is it wealth? Then go for it. If it's wisdom, then go for it. If it's power, then go for it. If it's God, then go for it. It's as simple as that. We need to ask ourselves this question. What is the ultimate pursuit of my life? What is the ultimate pursuit of your life? If it is God, how is these other things helping me to get there? Or are they distracting me to get there? We need to ask ourselves this question. There are so many things in this life that competes for our time, that competes for our hearts, that competes for our pursuit. It's about pursuit in life. God says, boast in this, glory in this, praise in this, that you understand and know me. This is the author of life. This is the creator of life that says this thing. The ultimate purpose of life is this. That you understand and know me. Understand and know are two different Hebrew words. Understand emphasizes the more factual knowledge. To get understanding of me. Get understanding of me. Yes. Yes. We can get understanding of cells. We can get understandings of economy. We can get understandings of politics. We can get understanding. How do we get understanding of those things? If you want to become a biologist and you want to get an understanding of, how do you get that? Of a cell. How do we get understanding of the working of a cell? We've got to study it, don't we? We've got to study it. We've got to read, we've got to pursue, we've got to ask questions, we've got to try, and we've got to apply. And we want to gain understanding of how it works, how it functions. To understand speaks about the factual understanding, the factual knowledge of who God is. That's the one aspect. How do we get there? If you want to understand, if you want to have the factual, correct information, understanding of who God is, you've got to study the Word. This is how God revealed Himself. So if you want to have a true, correct understanding, the factual knowledge of who is God, you're going to find it in this place. In the living Word. You've got to study it. You've got to spend time and you've got to search it. That's the one aspect, understanding. Then he speaks about knowing me. The Hebrew word yada, we've heard so many sermons on that. That intimate, relational understanding, knowing of God. It is not a factual understanding per se. No, it is a reality of the understanding. It is knowing the person. Not just who he is, but knowing him personally. Experiencing his nearness, hearing his voice, and experiencing him in a relational way. That we can relate to him. God says it's not just with your understanding, which is important, but it is also with your being. That you know me personally. It's the two sides. It's so interesting. God used both of these. He says you need to understand me and you need to know me. That is the pursuit of life. It's not just the academic understanding of who God is and what makes him different. What is his character? What is his nature? But it is also knowing him. That is the pursuit of life. God uses both these terms. And in that order. I believe this is so important. God says you need to understand and know me. It's so interesting that God uses it this way around. Not the other way around. You should know me and understand me. He says, no, you should understand me and know me. I believe it's important. Because obviously we can't have an intimate relational knowledge of someone that we neither know or have no understanding of, no knowledge of, or incorrect knowledge of. How can you have an intimate relationship with somebody that you have incorrect knowledge of? Have you ever thought of that? How can you have an intimate, close relationship with somebody that you either know nothing about or you have wrong information about? I mean, that's the danger of internet dating, isn't it? That's internet dating for you. Okay? There's a picture of somebody. You don't even know if that picture is real. You don't even know if it's real. And many people fall in love with that picture. But that's not the real person, is it? That can be a fake. That person can write nice stuff. But you cannot dare to intimately fall in love with that person if you don't know him. If you don't understand who he really is. You need to go and check if that picture is actually real. You need to go and check. You need to go and find out that picture that I see, that I'm falling in love with, is that picture real? You need to gain factual, correct understanding of who God is. Because there are so many Christians, they worship a God. And I always wonder, which God is that? So many Christians, they create for themselves a God profile, and then they worship that profile. They create for themselves a God that is comfortable for them. And then they worship that. They never take the time to study, to understand if that image is correct. As a matter of fact, who of you heard this saying? I don't believe a loving God will do this. Have you ever heard that before? I mean, how can a loving God do this? I do not believe in hell because how can a loving God? Heard this before? Christians. They create for themselves a God profile that they're comfortable with and then they worship that God. They never take the time to go and study who is God. Really. Now, I'd rather create one that I'm comfortable with and worship him. That's why God says, listen here, you need to understand and know me. You need to understand. You have your factual understanding correct about who I am. And then you need to know me. It starts there. It starts to understanding who is God. Who is this God that created everything? It's not the God that I create. It's not a God that I'm necessarily comfortable with. It is a God who is. I am who I am. This is it. Moses says, but God, who shall I say? Send me. I am who I am. The understanding, and once we've gained the understanding, not of what is comfortable for us or what we would like it to be, but once we have gained, once we search the scripture, once we have searched the truth to understand, when we make it a pursuit to understand, who is God in all His facets? Who is He? And then to know Him, to relate to Him. That is the meaning of life. We have to seek to understand and know God. We have to seek to know and understand God. If you do not seek to know God yourself, listen to me carefully. With all due respect for us, and for myself, and for those who stand on platforms like these all over the world, with all due respect and honor to that, if you do not seek God for yourself, somebody else will paint you a picture. Somebody else will paint you a picture. And you need to know, you need to understand for yourself who God is. And once you understand who He is, then you need to know Him. But you need to understand and know who God is. Because if you don't, somebody else will paint you a picture. He will create a profile for you and say, this is God. Love Him. You know, there's a scary scripture in Bible that says, one day many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord. Have we not done these great things in your name? And Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you. You followed somebody else. It wasn't me. It's our responsibility to understand and know God. It's our responsibility. We must get the factual knowledge right, and then we must know and relate to Him. In Philippians 3, Paul talks about his own experience in life before he was saved and after, and it is so powerful what Paul writes. Coming out of a religious system where he knew a lot about God, but he didn't know God. We had a wrong understanding of who God is. Even though he's exposed to so many things, he had a wrong understanding. But listen to Paul. Listen to Paul how he writes here in Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 4. He says, though I also might have confidence. Remember what we read. If you boast, if you have to glorify in something, if you have to boast in something, if you have to praise something, praise in this. Now listen to Paul. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has confidence in the flesh, I am more so, circumcised on the eighth day, his culture, the stock of Israel, his ethnicity, the tribe of Benjamin, his significance, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness, which is of the law, blameless. If there's something I can boast in, this is the things that I can boast in. If you want to boast, let me show you what I can boast in. And then he says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish. I won't go into a little translation of that. That I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, that by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is the essence of faith. This is the essence of faith. Paul's greatest longing in life was to know God. This is Paul writing in prison with chains. He says, if there's anything I can boast about, and used to boast in, I count it as rubbish for this one thing, for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that I may know Him in His fullness. This is my pursuit of life, is to know Christ more intimately. When compared to the surpassing value of knowing Him, nothing, everything else pales in comparison to knowing Jesus. Everything else in my life pales. All my achievements, all my pursuits, in comparison to knowing Him more intimately, everything pales. As a matter of fact, everything else that I could have boasted in is rubbish in comparison to this thing. All my achievement, whether it is wealth, power, fame, wisdom, in comparison to knowing Jesus, it's rubbish. Do you hear his art? Well, that's the pursuit of Christianity. To know Christ more intimately. To experience his personal fellowship and his nearness to a greater measure. That should be our pursuit in life. To know him more and more. That was Paul's pursuit in life. That was his hunger and thirst to understand his ways and to know God intimately as a person. To know Him as a person. To know His thoughts. You know what? I can't remember who said that, but I remember when I was in England in God TV. I always watched God TV and I love God TV. And there was always a clip. I can't remember who the guy was, but he always used to say, it was like in the advert of God TV, so I heard it like every day. He used to say, anybody can be as close to God as anybody in this Bible. You can be as close to God as anybody in this book. You can be as close to God as anybody in this book. God is no respecter of man. It's just, are you willing to pursue that? Are you willing to pursue that? Because if you are willing to pursue that, you can be as close to God as any. You can be as close to God as Moses. You can be as close to God as Paul, as Peter, as Philip, as Stephen. If you're willing to pursue that. That is the purpose of life, is to know Him. To know His thoughts and to know His ways as revealed in and through His Word. And then to experience it in a relationship with Him. When you know Him and you come to Him and you speak to Him and you search after Him diligently with all your heart and He starts to speak back to you. I mean, we all know that experience when God speaks to us. I mean, how awesome it is when we hear Him speak. How that one word can carry you for months. But that is the meaning of life, to understand and to know Him. I mean, Isaiah 55 says it the following way, seek the Lord, seek the Lord. We modern Christians, we don't seek God anymore. We don't have time for that, do we? Amen. But we believe the lie that we don't have the time. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that He may have compassion on him, and to our God who will abundantly pardon. Who is this God that we serve? That has so much compassion that will abundantly pardon those who forsake their ways and thoughts and turn to Him. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declare the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. It's not the same, so don't just assume that the way you do things is the way God does it. No, they are completely different. And His thoughts, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. They are different. And like I shared a few weeks ago, this gap is huge. He even says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. It is. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so is my ways higher, my thoughts different to yours. There is a massive gap. But then He says something powerful. He says, in the same way as the heavens are higher than the earth, I send rain from heaven all the way down to earth. I send rain. This massive gap. I send rain and snow come down from heaven, and it do not return there, but water the earth, making it bud forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Then He says, so shall my word be. In the same way as rain brings life, fills the gap, brings life, so is my word that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. It shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the things which I send it. Isn't that powerful? God says, if you want to know my ways, if you want to know my thoughts, I have sent my word to bridge the gap. So that you may understand me, and then you may know me. How do we know Him? How do we move from the factual understanding to the intimacy? Well, the basic key from studying the Word is to pray. It's to communicate. It's to speak to Him. I mean, now that I understand who you are, or I don't understand who you are, I can speak to God. I can speak to God. I can say, God, help me understand, because this is so difficult to understand. Show me who you are. And it's so amazing how God responds to that. And He speaks to us as we continue to search, either through the Word or through a prophecy or through a sermon. God starts to answer the question in our hearts if we just ask Him. So I want to encourage you, as you continue to search the Scripture to understand who He is, add prayer to it and ask Him. Ask Him. It doesn't have to take 3 hours. Just start with 15 minutes. And then ask God about the things that you're reading. Before you ask God, show me who you are. I have some of my most amazing quiet times in a half an hour. When I speak to God, I read and He speaks to me. And He says something to me that I either understand or I don't understand. And for the next week, I will be searching the Scriptures to understand. And in my search to understand, God reveals Himself to me. And it's amazing. It's amazing. So I want to encourage you. For as the rain, so shall my word be. True knowledge of Christ involves studying and listening to the Word. Listening to the Holy Spirit when He speaks to us. Responding to Him. Responding to Him as He works in our lives. I mean, when He challenges us, and you know what? God is going to challenge you. I can guarantee you that, because His ways is not yours. It's not mine. And His thoughts are not mine. I think one thing, God thinks another thing. I get to know what He thinks, and it's a challenge to me. And then I need to respond to His ways, not mine. And in responding to Him, you know what? He changes me. He teaches me. Like a father, a son, if you just approach Him like that. It involves faith and obedience. And it involves identifying with His purpose and His pursuit. I mean, ultimately, to understand and know God, you know what? It's going to change us in such a matter that we're going to start pursuing His pursuit. Not our own. It's going to change you. It's going to change you. You're going to become more like Him. You're going to think like Him. You're going to do like Him. And you're going to start to pursue what He pursues. And that is a scary thought for many people. I always wonder, why is it so scary? Well, one of the reasons why it is so scary to pursue God and His ways and His purpose is because we have another thing that we are pursuing. Isn't that so? We have something else we are pursuing, and now God is saying, well. And it doesn't necessarily mean, don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying you must resign or do this or don't do this. I have a friend, you know what, he's a pub owner. He got saved recently. He said, yeah, don't put up your hand if you're here. I don't see you, but that's okay. He'll forgive me. He's a pub owner. The first thing that he got saved, the very day he got saved, he told me, I'll most probably have to now let go of my pub. I said, no. Leave your pub. You don't need to do anything. The only thing that you need to do is follow Jesus. And He's going to change you. Well, first in your heart. But He's going to change you. You don't have to do anything. He's going to change you that you would want to do. Not have to, but want to. It's not been 2 months. He sits with me. He says, you know what? I can't take this anymore. I can't take this anymore. Drunk people around me all the time. I'm selling to them. I just can't take it anymore. I can't drink anymore. I can't sell anymore. I want to get out. I said, yeah, I told you. Jesus is changing you. And now He wants to. He wants to. So just follow Him. Just understand who He is and know who He is. And He will direct you as He pleases. And then follow Him. Follow Him. Because where He leads, there's life. You don't need to be afraid. So just follow Him. Don't resign. Don't just follow Him. Just pursue Him. Just make Him your primary pursuit in life. And see what happens. Maybe you keep the pub. I don't know. That's between you and God. Maybe not. Well, you know. But anyway. But I want to encourage you to think of your own life. I want you just for a moment, just to close your eyes, just where you're seated, just close your eyes. Just think about your own life. What is your life about? What is your purpose? What is the pursuit, the ultimate pursuit in your life? Just think about that for a moment. What is the ultimate pursuit in your life? Well, this is the ultimate pursuit. To understand and know God. Keep your eyes closed. I'll end over this. Same as Isaiah 55 from verse 1. Come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters, he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, eat what is good. And delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear. Come to me, hear, and your soul may live. and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my steadfast and sure love, as for David. God's invitation. This is what life is about. To understand and know Him. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank You. That You made us different to the rest of creation. You made us different. Because You chose, God, to love us. You chose to create us to be loved by You. You chose to create us that we may have an understanding in Your image and in Your likeness. An understanding and the capacity to respond to that love. To know You back. To love You back. That is why You created us, God. And Lord, I pray that we will understand that that is the purpose. That is the meaning of life. Is to understand and know You. Is to understand what it means when You say, do not eat of that tree. And then to know You as You speak. And then to follow You for who You are. God, I pray that You will help us, Lord, in our hunger, in our thirst, Lord, in our pursuit in life, that over all the things and the many things that we can pursue in this life and the many things in our life that we do pursue, that we have to pursue, God, I pray that You will help us to put You on top of everything. That we will make You the ultimate pursuit. The thing that we put our hope, our faith ultimately in. That we believe that this thing is what will give us significance. This thing is what will give us fulfillment. This thing, not the wealth, not the power, not the fame, not the wisdom, but You, God. You. That we may know more of You. God, I pray that we will pursue You, God. We will pursue You, God. Paul says, Lord, in that same chapter in Philippians 3, verse 12 to 15, he speaks about this deliberate pursuit. And Lord, I just want to read that also. When Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this, the excellence of the knowledge of knowing Christ, not that I have already obtained all this or have already achieved and arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward what is ahead, I press towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And all of us then, who are mature, should have and should take such a view of things. God, I want to encourage us here today, Lord, to push ahead, to strive to know more, to understand more. God, I pray that this will become the meaning of our life, Lord, that this will become the fulfillment of life when we drink of who You are in everything. God, so I want to pray that You will help us, God. And for some of us here, I believe God is saying, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that He may have compassion on him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. God, I want to pray for those who are here today whose passion for You have grown cold. If you are here and your passion for God has grown cold, or your pursuit has gone your way, I really believe that God is speaking to you and He's calling you back to Him. He says, come to Me that I might give you
life.
And if that is you today, I just want you to respond to God by saying, God, here I am, Lord. My heart is turned. It's grown cold, but I hear your voice today. I hear your voice. God, I want to return back to you, Lord. If that is you, just raise your hand to him. Say, God, here I am, Lord. I want to turn back to you, Lord. I want to acknowledge before you, God, my heart is pursuing something else, Lord, but I want to pursue you again. Lord, I want to turn today. I want to turn. While you are near, I want to call on you, Lord. If that is you, just respond to him by raising your hand. Thank you for those hands. Just respond to God. Because God is near. God is here. God is calling you today. He's inviting you. He's calling you back to return to that pursuit. Maybe you're here today and you know about God. But you do not know him. You've heard a lot about God, but you do not know him. You are not sure that you know him. If that is you, just raise your hand to God. Say, God, this is who I am. Thank you for those. If you're not sure when you hear those words, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. If that is you, I want to give you an opportunity to respond today and say, God, here I am. I want to know you. Not just about you, but I want to know you. I want to know what they talk about when they say you speak and we hear and we experience in your nearness. If you don't know that, if you don't have that, And you have a desire to know God like that, I want to give you an opportunity also just to respond to him by saying, God, here I am. I want to know you. If that is you, just raise your hand before God. I thank you for that hand. Is there anybody else? Father, I want to thank you for these hands, Lord. Oh God, I want to pray that you will respond. I know you're going to respond, God, to each and every heart, Lord, that is crying out to you with a desire, with a hunger and a thirst, Lord, to understand and to know you, Lord. And God, I want to pray, Father, that as we return to you, Lord, as we put our hearts and our pursuit in life again to follow you, Lord, I pray that you will meet us. You will meet us at that point. And that you will pour more of yourself, Lord. And I want to pray for those who've raised their hands. If you've raised your hand, I want to ask you to quickly come forward. And I want to pray with you. So if you've raised your hand, just quickly come forward. I believe God wants to establish something. There's something powerful when you do this. When you say, God, today I am standing before you and I'm choosing. If that is you, if you're shy, just take somebody's hand next to you and ask them to bring you. But come forward. Make that decision today. Make it real. Make it real. Act on it. Say, yes, God, I want to pursue you again with everything in my heart. So I'm going to give you a moment to do that, and I'm going to ask the facilitators, if you could hand out, all the cell facilitators, if you can hand out the elements of communion. We are corporately going to commit ourselves to follow him again. Amen? With all our hearts. And as we hand this out, I want to give you an opportunity just to speak to God. Where you are in your seats, just say, God, I want to respond to your word today. That I might pursue you and know you more. God, I want to know you more. I want to make you the number one in my life. I want to give you an opportunity as we hand out and while we minister. Just reflect on that and then we're going to have communion together. So we can hand that out. And we're going to minister just for a moment for these precious people here in the front. Did everybody receive bread? Anybody we missed? There we still need, here in the middle block, we still need some bread. Bread here in the middle. Who has the bread? If you don't have bread, please just raise your hand. Okay, that block. Can somebody help Celeste there? Does everybody have a cup? Who's missed a cup? There at the back, we still need a cup there. And there in the middle. Anybody for a cup? Bread? Everybody has? Who now needs? There's somebody that still needs? Going back to his seat? Both. Oh, you have. Okay. Father, we just want to thank you, Father, that you have given us life and that you have given meaning to life. And God, that thing which separated us from the meaning, the purpose, the source of life, which is our sin, God, you even gave the solution. You even gave the remedy. You even paved the way for us to come back to you. Even though we were still sinners, God, and enemies, God, you gave your Son so that we may come back to you, so that we may pursue you again without anything hindering, preventing. Lord, thank you that the veil was torn so that we can come into your presence, Lord, without ceremony, without ritual, but simply through faith in what you have done for us, through understanding what you have done for us and embracing that, receiving that, knowing that in Jesus. That you are a person, you are not a statue, you are not a creed, you are not emptiness, you are not discipline. You are real. A person that we can come to. Lord, we want to thank you that you were willing to take all our sin and all our shame and all our guilt upon yourself, everything that hindered us to pursue the meaning of life. And you were punished for us that we may be free. God, as we eat this bread, we do not forget the price, the cost that it took for us to come to your Father. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, let's eat together. Lord, as we take this cup, Lord, that represents your blood, Lord, that was shed for us, the seal of the new covenant, the new way of life, the way to the source of life, eternal life, the purpose of life, the meaning of life, which is God Himself. We want to thank you, Father, that you have paved the way through your Son, that we can come to you not as slaves, but as children. That we may call you Father. That we may call you Father.